B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Nun Tes. We're going to start four lines from the top of the Omud. On Daf Nun Ches Omud Beis, we saw a brisa that if you had a bell, and a typical bell is ro'i l'kabel tumah, it can be used either to serve a person or to be an ornament for a person. Either way, it can become tumah. And the brisa said that nitlu in balehen adayin tumoson alehen. That if the clapper in the middle of the bell was taken away, even though for all intents and purposes it can no longer be used as a bell, nonetheless, adayin tumoson alehen, they are still tomei. They can still become tomei, and they remain tomei if they were tomei. It's not called a broken, unusable kli. And the Gemara asked why. The Gemara asked, lemai chozile, what can you use it for? And the Gemara suggested three answers. Abaya said, "Hoyel v'hediot yochel achziroi." Since even a layman can return the clapper into the bell, for all intents and purposes, it's not called that the clapper has been removed from the bell. Then we had Rava, who said the same as Rabbi Yosi bar Rav Chanina, that it can still be used as a bell even when the clapper is not in it, because one can knock the bell with a piece of clay, a piece of earthenware, a piece of cheres, and therefore it can still serve as a bell. Rabbi Yochanan said that you can still use the shell of the bell, not for a bell purpose, not for a ding-dong, for making a sound. Rather, you can use it in order to feed a child water in it. You can fill it up with water and give it to a child to drink from, a type of a mug, a type of a cup. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan loiboy me'en melocha rishayna. Does Rabbi Yochanan really hold that if a kli loses the ability to function in the way that it was originally supposed to function, even though it can function as something else, but if that something else, even though it was not its primary function, nonetheless it's still a kli? Because that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. The reason that the bell is still tomei is because it can be used for something else. That means Rabbi Yochanan holds that even if the primary use and purpose is no longer able to be used that way, nonetheless it's still a kli and still is tomei. V'hotanya, this seems to be contrary to a brisa we learned. The brisa says, V'chol hakli asher yeshev olav ezov, that sits on a kli, v'goymer, etc. There's a halacha of Tumas Medrus, that is Zov, that sits on something that's supposed to be sat on, or that's usually sat on, then a special stringent type of Tumah happens onto that seat. And it's even if he didn't touch it, even if there was a whole bunch of mattresses or chairs or whatever it is, one on top of the other, and he sat right on top, all of those under him are all Tumah Medrus. Says the Braisa, Yochel Kofo Saw V'yeshiv Olov, Kofo Tarka V'yeshiv Oleo, Yehei Tomei. Are you suggesting, or could it be, that if one takes a very big container, one used to measure out a saw, or one measured used to measure out half a saw? Half a saw is 3 kav, tar kav. Tray is 2 kav, plus 1 kav is 3 kav. There's 6 kav in a saw. So if you have a big container used to measure out half a saw, you turn it upside down and the zov sits on it. Are you suggesting that it's going to be tomei? Talmud Leima says in the Pasuk, Asher yeshev olav hazov, that it's something which is used for sitting on, for the zov, and we know that in the future is going to remain and is going to continue sitting on it. Misha miyuchad liyeshiva, it's only if it's been dedicated and its unique use is exclusively to sit on. Yotzo zeh, excluding these type of measuring containers, sha'imrim loy, if a zov were to sit on it, then the workers would say to him, amoid v'nasa melachtenu, stand up and let us use these containers for what they were originally intended for, to measure out a saw or half a saw. And since it's a type of kli that one says to him, amoid v'nasa melachtenu, stop sitting on it, we want to use this kli for what it was supposed to be made for, therefore it's not considered a medrus, and for all intents and purposes, it's not considered a seat, and even if a zov sits on it, it will not become tomei. And now there's the Gemara carries on, Rebbe Lozo Oimir, b'medrosois oimrim, regarding Tumas Medrus, when a Zov sits on one of these kelim that are not really intended to be sat upon, we say, Amoid v'nasa melachteinu, stand up and let us do our work. And that's a reason to stop the Tumas Medras happening to this type of seat. V'ein oimrim betomei meis amoid v'nasa melachteinu. But regarding a Tumas meis, we don't say such a thing. If a kli was tomei meis, and then that kli broke, but you can still use that kli for something else, then we don't say, since this is not the use of it, which is conforming to the use that it was originally intended for, therefore it is no longer tomei meis. No, we say that since it can still be used for something else, it still stays tomei. Not like we saw before, that since this upside down container to measure out a saw or half a saw, since this is not what it was originally intended for, therefore the unintended use in Hilchas Tumah is non-applicable. For example, Medrus, since this is not made to sit on, even though you can use it to sit on, it will not become Tomei Medrus. But in regarding Tumas Meis, if a dead person touched a container, even if that container now no longer can no longer be used for what it was originally intended to, since it can be used for something else, then we still say that it stays Tomei. And there's a difference between Medrus and Tumas Meis. That's the opinion of Rebbe Loza. Rebbe Yechonon Omar, Af oimrim betomei meis amoid v'nasa melachteinu. In the case of, even regarding Tumas Meis, if a kli became Tomei, and the kli was originally made to serve one purpose, and then it broke, but it can still be used for a different purpose, then since it's no longer being used for its primary purpose, we say amoid v'nasa melachteinu, and it will lose its Tumas Meis. And this is the contradiction that the Gemara is asking with Rabbi Yechanan. On Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis, we asked a question, and at the top of our Amud, we learned last time, Rabbi Yechanan said that a bell whose clapper has been taken out is still Tomei because it can be used for something else. It can be used to feed a child, to give a child water to drink. And here we see that regarding Tumas Meis, if it can no longer be used for what it was primary use was made for, then it's no longer Tomei. According to Rabbi Yechanan, also regarding Tumas Meis, we say the same as Medrus, that it's only ever going to be Tomei if it's used for what it was originally made to be used. And that's a stira, a contradiction in Rabbi Yechanan. Says the Gemara, Epech Kamaisa. We saw in the contradiction in the Gemara before that the Braisa says, Nitlu in Belem, Adain, Tumason Alein, and we asked why. And we said there were a number of explanations. There was Abaye, then there was Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, and then there was Rabbi Yechanan. So the Gemara says, Epech Kamaisa, just switch it around. Rabbi Yechanan is the one that said that it can still be used as a bell by using a piece of cheres, and it's Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina who said that it's roi legamea boimayim letinuk, it can be used to feed a child. Ask the Gemara, Umay Chosis de Apches Kamaisa Epech Basraisa. Why are you switching over the Rabbi Yechanan of the Braisa with the bell? Why don't you switch over the Rabbi Yechanan we just learnt here now regarding the Tumas Meis? Says the Gemara, Hoshamino Neil Rabbi Yechanan de Boyim en Melocha Rishayna. Because we have another source that tells us that Rabbi Yechanan, like we saw in this Braisa, says that it will only remain Tomei and become Tomei all the while that it can still be used for what it was originally intended to be used for. What, this is a Mishnah. What does it say in the Mishnah? Sandal shel behema, a shoe of an animal, shel matchois Tomei. If it's made of metal, it's Tomei. Ask the Gemara l'may chazi. What's it used for? We know that something that just serves an animal and doesn't serve a person is not going to become Tomei. How does this shoe serve a person? So there's going to be a number of explanations in the Gemara. Omar Rav, roi lishtos b'imayim b'milchoma. It was a type of shoe that could contain water, and in time of war, you could use the shoe to drink water with it. You could put water into it and drink. Reb Chanina Omar, Royu losuch boi shemen b'milchoma. At times of war, which is when they would be out with the animals and these shoes, they could use these shoes to anoint themselves with oil. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, it's again Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, "B'shor shebireach min hakrav," when a person is fleeing from battle, "manichoi biraglov," the person himself can put these shoes onto his own foot and run away with it. "V'rot al kaitzin v'al habarkonim," and that will help him be able to trample and run over thorns and thistles. Ask the Gemara, "Ma bein Rav Rav Chanina?" What's the difference between Rav, who says you can use the shoe to drink from, and Rav Chanina, who says you can use the shoe to anoint yourself with oil? If this shoe is repulsive, then according to Rav, it cannot become tummy, because it will not be used to drink from. A person wouldn't drink from a repulsive shoe of an animal, but to use it to anoint oneself with oil, which is what Rav Chanina says, that you would use it for. And the reason that Rav doesn't say like Rav Chanina is because Rav assumes that oil was not something they would take with them to war. And since these shoes would only be used by a person during wartime, then the fact that you could anoint yourself with oil, which was a commodity that was not found on the battlefield, Rav says that's not a good enough reason to make it called a kli serving a person. And Rav Chanina argues and says that it could be used for that purpose. Bein Rabbi Yochanan l'Rab Chanina, the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina, ikka beinayu the yakir. If these shoes are very heavy, then according to Rabbi Chanina, you could still use it to put oil in to anoint yourself with it, but you would not use it to wear yourself and run away with, because if it's too heavy, you cannot flee with these shoes. So what do we see here clearly? Rabbi Yochanan says the reason it's tomei is because a person himself can use it as a sandal, which means when this shoe was originally made, it was made to be worn as a shoe. And not like Rav, who says that you could use the shoe, even though it was primarily used as a shoe, since when push comes to a shove, you would use it to drink from, it's still tomei. That's what Rav says. And Chanina says when push comes to shove, you can use it to anoint yourself from it. But Rabbi Yochanan says that's not all not good enough, because Rabbi Yochanan, as we just said, a kli will only become tomei and remain tomei all the while it can be used for what it was originally made for. And therefore Rabbi Yochanan, who says here that it's tomei, he explains it's not because it can be used for something else, it can be used for what it was originally made for. It was made to be a shoe, and now it's tomei because it can serve a person to be a shoe. So you see that Rabbi Yochanan holds it has to be used for its original use, its primary function, and therefore we said that it follows what Rabbi Yochanan says, that by Tumas Meis, it has to also be usable for what its primary function was, and therefore when it comes to explaining the Brice on Dafnun Chesamud Beis, when the clapper was taken out and the bell is still tomei, the Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan couldn't have said that it was going to be used to feed a child, because that's a different use, and in Hilchas Tumah that would not render this kli as worthy of becoming or remaining tomei, and therefore we switch it around and say Rabbi Yochanan said you can still use it as a bell. If you can still use it as a bell, then it still conforms with its primary function, and therefore it can become tomei. Continues the Gemara. We saw in the Mishnah that a woman is not allowed to go out v'loy b'iru shel zov, with this ornament that was designed like the city of Yerushalayim. Asks the Gemara, "My b'iru shel zov, what is this ornament that is designed like a city made of gold?" Rabbi Babar Chono Amr Rabbi Yechanon Yerushalayim d'davo. It was an ornament made like Yerushalayim in gold. K'do'ovad le'Rabbi Akiva le'debisu, like Rabbi Akiva made for his wife. And there's a lot to be said about this. The Gemara Nedarim discusses that Rabbi Akiva was very, very poor. They didn't even have a mattress to sleep on. They would sleep on straw. And in the morning, Rabbi Akiva would pluck out the bits of straw from his wife's hair. They were very, very poor. And Rabbi Akiva told him that if I had the money, then I would give you a Yerushalayim shel zov, I'll give you such an ornament. And the Mefarshim say that later on, he actually fulfilled that when he could afford it, and he actually gave it to her. And others say that it was her tremendous Mesiras Nefesh for Torah that made her deserving of such an ornament. That's what we're talking about here. This ornament, a woman is not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. As we've seen previously, any fancy ornament, we're afraid the woman is going to take it off and show it to her friends, and then she may end up carrying it in Rosh Hashanah, and therefore it's Asa. Continues the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanon lo yiseitze isha bi'ir shel zav. A woman is not allowed to go out with this ornament designed like a city, made of gold. Ve'im yatzan, if she goes out, chayeves chatos. It's chayev chatos, divi Reb Meir. That's the opinion of Reb Meir, which means it's biblically osur to go out with it. Ve'chachomim oimrim lo yiseitze. The chachomim also say she's not allowed to go out with it. Ve'im yatzan p'tura. But they say if she did go out, she's not chayev chatos, it's only osur midrabbanon. Rabbi Eliezer says she can go out like this. It's mutter to go out with it. And the Gemara is going to explain. But my kamiflegi, in what point are they arguing? Rabbi Meir sovar masuyu. Rabbi Meir says that this is not something which they would regularly go out with. It's called a burden, and since it's a burden, it's called carrying. It's not called a cloth. It's not called an ornament. It's a burden, and somebody who goes out with a burden in Rosh Hashanah is chayv. Rabbonon savra tachshitu. Rabbonon say it is an ornament, but dilma shalfa, maybe she's going to remove it. Umachvili, and in order to show it to her friends, va'asya la suye, and she's going to carry it in Rosh Hashanah. Rebelozo savar. Rebelozo says we're not worried she's going to take it off, because man darko la meifag be'ir shel zav. What type of woman would go out with such an ornament? Isha chashuva, a very distinguished and prominent woman. Such a prominent woman would not take off an ornament in order to show it to her friends. And therefore, it's mutter for her to go out with it on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Klila. Klila was a type of crown, a type of band that would go from ear to ear. And we'll soon see there were two types of klilos. There was one made of a hammered out plate of either gold or silver that would go from one ear to the next. And there was another type that was made of a fabric type of a strap, and inserted, embedded into it, was some gold pieces and some precious stones. So let's see in the Gemara. Rav Osar Ushmuel Shori. Rav says you're not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. Shmuel says it's mutter to go out with it in Shabbos. So the Gemara now explained. The Anischa, the type of klila, this type of band that was made of a banged out plate of either gold or silver, kule el meloi pligi, everyone agrees to osa. You're not allowed to go out with it. It's an ornament, a very special type of ornament, and she might take it off to show her friends. Ki pligi, what they're arguing with, de arukta, the type of klila that's made of a fabric, but it's got some gold woven into it and some precious stones. Marasovar. Anischa Ika. Rav says the main part of it is the golden pieces that are embedded into it, and therefore she may take it off and show her friends, and therefore it's Asa. Umar Savar and Shmuel hold Arukta Iker. The main part of it is the fabric part, and it's not so special that, and she would not come and take it off. Rav Ashi Masni Lukula. Rav Ashi explains the Machlekas, but in a more Kuladig way. Because we just said now that by Anischa, everybody says it's Asa, and by Arukta, Rav says it's Asa, and Shmuel says it's Muta, which means that according to Rav, any type of Klila is always Asa. According to Shmuel, it's Muta if it's the material type of strap. Rav Ashi is going to say it differently. Rav Ashi says, the Arukta, in the case of the Arukta, where the main part of the band is a strap, is fabric. The kule alma le pligi dishori. Everyone says she's allowed to go out with that on Shabbos. Ki pligi, where they're arguing, da nischa, when it's a very prominent type of band made of banged out either gold or silver. Marasovar dilma sholfo machvi, v'osi lasuye. Rav says we're afraid she's going to show it to her friends and carry, and therefore it's osa. Or marasovar. And Shmuel says, "Man darko lemeifak beklila." What type of woman goes out with such a band? Isha chashuva, a very prominent woman. V'isha chashuva leishalfo machve, as we saw before, such a chashuva woman would not take off a band in order to show it to her friends. Omale Rav Shmuel bar Bar Chana l'Rav Yosef beferush omar talon. You Rav Yosef told us, you don't remember because you've since become sick and you forgot a lot of your learning, but we remember before you became ill, you taught us that in the Bishmei de Rav, in the name of Rav, Klila Shori, that there's a type of crown, a type of band that you are allowed to, that a woman is allowed to go out with on Shabbos, that must be following Rav Ashi. And Rav Ashi says that Rav says it's muta with a klila that's made of arukta. According to what the Gemara initially said, that the whole argument is by arukta and by anischa, that's where the and by nischa everyone says it's aser, then you don't have any type of klila that Rav says you are allowed to go out with. And you, Rav Yosef, said there was a type of klila that Rav did allow them to go out with. So it must be that you taught us, like Rav Ashi, that in the case of arukta, there's no machlekas, and everyone agrees you're allowed to go out with it. Continues the Gemara, Omru Leila Rav. They said to Rav, also Gavra Rabba, somebody, a very prominent person, came from Eretz Yisrael, Aricha, he was very tall, Lenarado, he came to Narado, Umetalo, and he was limping, Vadorash, and he said to Drosha, what Drosha did he say? Klila Shori, and he said this to Rav, this was said to Rav, that Rav was told, in the name of this prominent person, we'll soon see who it was, that the halacha is that Klila Shori, there is a type of Klila, which one is allowed to, a woman is allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. Omar, Rav said, Man Gavr Rabba, who is this Gavr Rabba, Aricha, who was very tall, Deitla, and was limping? Levi. It was Levi, and the Gemara tells us in Maseches Sukkah that Levi did some act, some acrobatic act in front of Rebbe, and that's why he became, and that's when he became hurt, and this is in Sukkah Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. And Rav continued, Rav said, Shema Minah, from the fact that Levi came from Eretz Yisrael to Nahar Adar, it's apparent, Shema Minah, it's apparent that Noch Nafshei de Rabbi Ofes, it seems that Rabbi Ofes passed away, V'yosef Rav Chanina Bereisha, Rav Chanina became the Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael instead of him, V'lehave le'inish le'levi le'meisav gabei, and Levi did not have a chavrusa, didn't have somebody to sit with to learn, and he came here to Nahar Adar. Just a bit of background, and this is based on the Gemara in a number of places, in Ksubas Daf Kuf Gimel, and in Brachas Daf Yud Ches, and in this Sugya. What happened was that Rebbe, before he passed away, Rebbe said that Reb Chanina Reb Choma is going to become the Rosh Hashiva after him. When Rebbe passed away, Reb Chanina did not want to become, he refused to become the Rosh Hashiva because there was somebody, a Chochem called Reb Ofes, who was 2.5 years older than him, who was there in the Beis HaMedrash, and Reb Chanina said it's inappropriate that I should be the Rosh Hashiva and Reb Ofes should be sitting subordinated to me. It's not Derech Eretz. So Reb Chanina didn't take the job and Reb Ofes became the Rosh Hashiva. Now Reb Chanina could not go into the Beis HaMedrash because Rebbe said that he should become the Rosh Hashiva, and going into the Beis Medrash and not acting as the Rosh Hashiva will directly oppose what Rebbe said, and that's inappropriate. So he stayed outside. Levi, who was the same age and the same level of Chochmah as Reb Chanina, Levi chose to stay with Reb Chanina outside to learn with him, so Reb Chanina should not be on his own. At some point, what happened? Rebbe Ofes passed away, and now Reb Chanina took the place of Rabbi Ofes. Levi did not want to go into the Beis Medrash to Reb Chanina because there was no reason he should be subordinated to Reb Chanina. He was the same age, the same level of Chochmah, of knowledge, of wisdom. He wanted to go elsewhere to learn. So that at that point, Levi left Eretz Yisrael and came to Nahar Adar. And that's what the Gemara said here. So the Gemara asks, how do you know that just because Levi came from Eretz Yisrael to Nahar Adar, why are you assuming that Rabbi Ofes passed away and Rabbi Chanina became the Rosh Hashiva? Maybe Dilma Noch Nafshei de Rabbi Chanina, maybe his Chavrusa Rabbi Chanina passed away, Rabbi Ofes could have koi koi. Maybe Rabbi Ofes stayed the Rosh Hashiva. And and till now, Levi was learning with Reb Chanina, and Reb Chanina passed away, and Levi came to Nahar Adar. Why is the fact that Levi came to Nahar Adar proof that it was Reb Ofes that passed away and not Reb Chanina? Says the Gemara, Im Isad Reb Chanina Shochiv, if Reb Chanina would have passed away, Levi Reb Ofis Meichav Hayav Achayef Le. Levi would have had no problem to subordinate himself to be Miskeifef and Nichna to Rabbi Ofis. Vesu, the Reb Chanina Loi Sagi De Loi Molich. It cannot be that Reb Chanina would pass away without actually being the Rosh Hashiva. Dechi Hava Konoch Nafshei De Rabbi, because when Rabbi passed away, Omar, he said explicitly, Chanina Berav Choma Yosef Baroish, that Chanina Berav Choma is going to be the Rosh Hashiva. Uchsiv, when it says in the Pasuk regarding Tzadikim, it says, Vasigzor Oymir Vayokom Loch, that Vasigzar Oymer Vayokom Loch, that when Tzadikim say something, Tzadik Goyza and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekayim. The Gemara in Tainis Daf Chof Gimel explicitly explains this. V'goymer. So therefore, it must be that Reb Chanina did become the Rosh Hashiva. So if Levi came here, it must be that Reb Ofis passed away. Dorash Levi. And what was this Levi who now came to Benarado? He came to Narado. What did he darshan? Klila Shori. That one is allowed to go out with a Klila on Shabbos. Nofak esim arba klila mikoyla narda. In the whole of Narda, there were 24 women that went out on Shabbos with this klila, because Levi brought that ruling from Eretz Yisrael to Narda. Dorash Rabbi Baravua b'mechuza klila shori. Rabbi Baravua said in a place called Mechuza that one is allowed to go out with this klila on Shabbos. V'nofku tamni sri klila, and there were 18 women that went out with this klila michod mevoya from a single alleyway in Mechuza. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Yehuda, Omer of Shmuel. Kamra shori. Kamra is a type of a fancy belt, and it was said in the name of Rav Shmuel that one is allowed to go out with this fancy belt on Shabbos. Ikud Omra. Others say da'arukta, that the type of belt that you're allowed to go out with is one that's made of a fabric. Arukta. V'omer of Safra. Midi dehava atalis muzheves. The reason that you're allowed to go with it is in the same reason that you're allowed to go out with a golden cloak. And Rashi explains that with a cloak, even though it's fancy and it's decorated, and maybe you'll want to show it to your friends, but since it's your cloak, you're not going to get undressed. So too, regarding this belt, that even though it's fancy and you may want to show your friends, but a person is not typically going to untie his belt in the street to show his friends. V'ikka d'omra. Others say, da'anischa, that the type of belt one is allowed to go out on Shabbos is one with anischa. It's made of banged out gold or silver. V'omer of Safra. Rav Safra explained, midi dehava avnet shel malochim. In the same way as kings are allowed to go out with belts, all of Klal Yisrael are allowed to go out with a belt, with such fancy belts, because all of Klal Yisrael are considered the sons of kings. Omale Ravina l'Ravashi. Ravina said to Ravashi, Kamra ilave mahaimne mai. Are you allowed to go out with a fancy belt that's sitting on top of a regular belt? Omale. Ravashi said to Ravina, Tre hamayni kormus. That means going out with two belts. You're certainly not allowed to go out with two belts. There's explicit sources for that. One's not allowed to go out with two belts. The upper belt is not considered a garment for him, and therefore it's also to go out with it on Shabbos. Going out with a second belt is a burden. It's called carrying. You go out with it in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it's severely osa. Continues the Gemara. Omar Ravashi. Hai Rasuka. Somebody who goes out with a large strip of material that was typically tied around the person's body. If they have ties, that one can tie this piece of material tight, that it should not fall off, then one's allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. But if it does not have these ties, we're afraid it's going to slip off, and therefore you may end up carrying it on Shabbos, and therefore it's also to go out with it on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. V'loi b'ktolo. We saw in the Mishnah, a woman is not allowed to go out with a ktolo. A ktolo is a choker. It's called a choker is because some part of this garment, of this ktolo, was very tightly strangled around the neck, similar to a choker. Now, there are some strands of material that were typically put around the neck, and they themselves are called ktolot. But here we're not talking about that type of ktolot. We already saw before that this is talking about the strap which goes around the neck, but it's a strap that was holding up a very fancy bib. And typically it would have a very wide strap, because the Gemara discussed this on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis at the top. And what was this fancy bib used for? Says the Gemara, Mike Tolo. This fancy bib was used, Menakto Pori, is there in order to collect the crumbs, what we would call a bib, while the person was eating, so the crumbs shouldn't fall on the floor or shouldn't dirty the clothes. There would be some type of a bib to collect these crumbs, and what held the bib on the person's chest would be this ktolo, would be a strap that was very tightly strung around the neck, and that's why it's called a ktolo. And one's not allowed to go out with this on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara Nezomim. We saw in the Mishnah that a woman is not allowed to go out with Nezomim on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Nizme Ho'af, we're talking here about nose rings. But earrings that are very complicated to take off, and especially as they used to have straps going round their heads, and then the earrings would be covered, then there's no issa for a woman to go out with earrings, but with nose rings, it's asa. Continues the Gemara, V'loi b'tabas she'ein olea choysam, a woman is not allowed to go out with a ring that does not have on it a signet. And we explained when we learned the Mishnah that if it has a signet, it's even more asa. But even if it doesn't have a signet and it's just an ornament, she's not allowed to go out with it. Says the Gemara, Ho yesh olea choysam, if there is a signet on it, chayeves, she's chayev. In the Mishnah it says if you go out with a ring that does not have a signet, he's not chayev, it's osa, but she's not chayev. But if it does have a signet, then it's chayev. Why? Alma, lav tachshitu. Because a ring with a signet is not called a tachshit, it's called a masui, it's called a burden. Men typically would go out with a signet because that was their job. They would use the signet to seal parcels and whatever the men were busy with. A woman would typically not go out with it. It's not called an ornament for them, and therefore it's a burden. And to go out with a burden on Shabbos is chayev, is seriously osa. But if it's a ring that does not have a signet, it's just an ornament, it's a tachshit. So there, she's not allowed to go out with it because she might show it to her friend and carry it. But that's only also midrabbanon. If she does go out with it, she will not be chayev chatos. Asks the Gemara Raminu. This seems to contradict a braisa, a Mishnah in Maseches Kelim. It says in the Mishnah, Tachshitei noshim, the ornaments of women. Tameim, they are tomei. Ve'eluhein, the Mishnah is going to tell us which tachshitei noshim are tomei. Which means that the ornaments, because the only things that can become tomei is either a kli, or a beged, or something that's, or not a tachshit, an ornament, which is similar to a beged, if it's an ornamental piece worn by a person. So the following tachshitei noshim are mekabel tuma, says the Mishnah. Ktalois, different types of chokers. Nezomim, earrings. V'tabois, different types of rings. And the Mishnah explains, V'tabas, bein she'esh olea choysam, bein she'ein olea choysam. Irrespective of whether there is or there is not a signet, it's a type of tachshit which becomes tomei. V'nizme ho'af, and nose rings. So the Gemara is asking, you see here clearly in the Mishnah, that even a ring that has on it a signet, nonetheless it's called a tachshit. So why do we say here that im yesh olea choysam, she's going to be chayev if she goes out with it? So we're going to have three different answers in the Gemara. Omar Abzeira, the first one says, Abzeira, loy kasha, it's not a question. Ha Reb Nechemya, ha Rabbonon. Reb Nechemya holds that a ring with a signet is called a masui. It'll be chayev chatos if you go out with it. And here in the Mishnah that we see that a ring with a signet is a tachshit, it's an ornament, is going according to the Rabbonon. To Tanya, because we saw in a Mishnah, he shel mateches, if the ring itself is made of metal, v'chaysamo shel almig, and the signet is made of wood, tomeo, it's tomei, because the main part of the ring is the ring part. And since that's made of metal, even though it doesn't have a receptacle, but we've seen a few times that metal ornaments or anything that's metal that serves a purpose, even if it does not have a receptacle, it's called pshutei klei matris, and it can become tomei. And it's clear, Tosfos brings that Reb Nechemya says over here, it's tohir, we'll soon see why. He shel almig, if the ring is made of wood, V'choisomo shel mateches, and the signet is made of metal, according to the Chachomim, tohira, it will be tohir. Because the main part of the ring, according to the Chachomim, is the ring part. The ring part is wood. It does not have a receptacle. Anything made of wood that does not have a receptacle is tohir. The fact that the signet is made of metal, that's not the main part of the ring. Reb Nechemya metame. Reb Nechemya says it's tomei. Because the main part of the ring is the signet, according to Reb Nechemya, and only the signet. And therefore, if the, in the first case where the ring is of metal and the signet is of wood, according to Reb Nechemya, it will be tohir. And in the second case where the ring is made of wood and the signet is made of metal, Reb Nechemya says it's tomei, because the main part is the signet. Shehoyer Reb Nechemya oimir. Reb Nechemya held b'tabas hoylich achar choisma, that the main part of the ring is the signet. So according to Reb Zera, we can now understand that the seeming contradiction whether a ring with a signet is called a masui, if it's called a burden or if it's called a tachshit, we can understand this. According to the Chachomim, that the main part of the ring is the ring, then we don't care if there's a signet. If there is a signet, there isn't a signet, the main part is the ring. And therefore, it's called a tachshit because we don't care about the signet. But when we saw before in our, based on our Mishnah, that only a tabas she'eino le'achosam, a ring without a signet, is not chayev chatos, but a ring with a signet is chayev chatos, is following Reb Nechemya. Reb Nechemya says the main part of the ring is the signet, and since for a woman a signet is not a tachshit, it's called a masui, it's called a burden, and therefore it'll be chayev. That's how Reb Zera explained the contradiction. And now we're in the middle of this Mishnah, that Reb Nechemya says that the main part of the ring is the signet. And there's a few more things that Reb Nechemya is now going to say, that the main part is not the main component of it, but one of the other parts. For example, Ba'oil, regarding a yoke, holach achar simloinov. A yoke typically was made back in the days before they had round yokes. They would have a yoke was made of two parallel pieces of wood, and there was a hole in each one, and through the hole they would put a peg, and that peg would then hold these two pieces of wood securely around the neck of the animal that was holding this yoke. So Reb Nechemya says that it's the pegs that decide whether it's tomei or not. If the pegs are made of metal, then the yoke is going to be tomei. If the pegs are not made of metal, then they're not going to be tomei. But koilov was a type of board on which they would display wares outside the shop. They would have a type of board that was wide at the bottom and narrow at the top. There would be nails in it. And on these nails, they would hang their belts or straps or whatever they were putting on display. So Ibn Nechemya says, holach achar masmerosov, then you see the nails that were knocked into this koilov, those are the ones that determine whether it's tomei or not. If the nails are made of metal, then this koilov will be tomei, and if the nails are not made of metal, it will not be tomei. Besulam, with a ladder, holach achar shlivosov. We know that a sulam, a ladder, is made of two upright pieces of wood, and in between them, they would put through the rods, they would become the rungs of the ladder. So depending on the material that these rungs were made of, as to whether the ladder is tomei. Ba'arsa, holach achar shlivosov, a type of scales that they used to use. They would either be standing on a base or hung up, but it was the scales that there was a piece of wood that was lying flat. That piece of wood was a vertical bar. From the bar on each side was hanging some chains. At the end of each chain, there were some pans in which they would put the weights, and they would put whatever they're trying to weigh. So Ibn Chemia says that with these scales, holach achar shal shloisov, the chains holding the pans, they are the ones that determine whether these scales are tomei or not able to become tomei. The Chachomim argue with Reb Nechemya, and they say, "Hakol hoylich achar amaymid." You go after what's the base, what's holding the whole contraption up. So, in the case of the ring, it's going to be the ring itself, not the signet. In the case of the yoke, it's going to be the two pieces that are holding the animal's neck into place, and it's not the rods that are going in between them. In the case of the koilov, it's going to be the board holding the nails that decides whether it can become tomei. With the ladder, it's going to be the upright pieces of wood or whatever it's made of, that determines whether it's tummy and not the rungs. And with the scales, it's going to be the beam at the top that's holding these, holding the chains, that determines whether the scales are tummy or not. But either way, as we explained before, Reb Nechemya and the Chachomim argue whether the main part of the ring is the ring or the signet. The difference will be if the main part is the ring, because this is according to Abzeira, if the main part is the ring, then we don't look at the signet, and we can consider it an ornament even if there is a signet. According to Reb Nechemya, that the main part of the ring is the signet, since a signet is a burden for a woman, it's not something, it's not an ornament for her, it's not a piece of jewellery for her, and therefore it would be called a masui. Continues the Gemara. A second answer to explain a seeming contradiction whether a ring with a signet is chayev or whether it's called a tachshit. Rava omar litzdodim ktonim. Yesh oleo choysom tachshit di'ish, ein oleo choysom tachshit di'isha. It's true that the Mishnah and Kalim that we mentioned at the bottom of Daf Nun Tes on the base mentions tachshitim and mentions tabas bein sheyesh oleo choysom bein she'ein oleo choysom. But even though the Mishnah started with elu hein tachshitei noshim, these are jewelries or this is ornaments belonging to a woman, it's not completely accurate. Tabas, that yesh oleo choysom, a type of ring that has a signet, is only an ornament for a man, not for a woman. But if ein oleo choysom, if it does not have a signet, then it's a tachshit for a woman. So in which case, there's no contradiction, where both sources agree that for a woman, a ring with a signet is called a burden and not a tachshit. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Omer, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok gives another answer. He says, Tuma a Shabbos koramisa? Are you asking a contradiction between Hilchas Shabbos and Hilchas Tuma? First, we mentioned that a woman is not allowed to go out with a ring with a signet on Shabbos, and if she goes out with it on Shabbos, it's called a burden, and she's Chayev Chatos. That's true. And in Hilchas Shabbos, it's not called a tachshit. But to the extent in Hilchas Tuma, why? Of course she can wear such a ring. Of course it's called a tachshit in Hilchas Tuma. It's serving her. So Hilchas Tuma can become Tomei, irrespective of whether it's got a signet or doesn't have a signet. And that does not contradict that in Hilchas Shabbos, if you go out with it, you've carried a burden, and it's chayev. Tuma, kli maisa omar achmona, uklihu. As far as Tuma is concerned, anything that's a kli, anything that serves a purpose and serves its purpose, is called a kli, it can become Tomei. Shabbos, mishum masui omar rachmona. Shabbos, it all depends on whether it's a burden. The Torah said you mustn't go out with a burden. Ein oleo choysom tachshit. If there's no signet on it for a woman, then it's called a tachshit, an ornament, and she can go out with it. It's not called a masui. Yesh oleo choysom, if it does have a signet, masui, then it's called a burden. And that's the final explanation of that contradiction regarding the rings that have a signet. And in the next shiur, we're going to continue from here.